name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, Savior. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Pastor
Amen.
Sherman.
All right. Well, we welcome you all here. And we're going to start out by quoting Genesis 8:22. Those of you who have your Bibles, if you'll turn there with me. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. This is a spiritual law that will not change. Everything in the word is based on seed time and harvest. Now turn with me to Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. And now 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food and multiplies your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving unto God. We don't have a choice of what we live by, but everything that we say and everything we do is a seed to God. Everything you do is a seed. Everything you say is a seed. Every word that I speak becomes a living thing. It will either create or destroy. So therefore, I must be careful of the words that I speak, that they line up with the word. This is the word. This is the fullness of God. This is God, and his character is God. Everything about God is in here. Everything we need to know, everything we want to know about him and about us is in here. If it doesn't follow this, get rid of it, because God's word is the most thing we need. Unplanted seed is powerless. If you know it and you don't speak it, it's powerless. You need to speak it. Growing a seed is easier for God. A seed is easier for Satan to steal than it is for him to steal a tree. Seeds grow into trees. Your life is the sum total of what you have spoken in the past, or somebody has spoken about you. Know this, that the Holy Spirit only responds to the word. Nothing else. He won't respond to your words. He'll only respond to the word. Now, the packet that you have in front of you is to go home with you. You are to take those. I'm going to give you some things from there, but I won't refer to it like I did last time. So you can take those home with you. If there's no word in your heart, there is no word to come to pass. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. You have to have it down in your heart, or your mouth is not going to speak it. Your success does not depend on how much word you know or how much you read. It depends on how much you allow it to become a part of your conversation. Is the word a part of you when you're speaking to someone? Does it just come out of you, or do you have to force it out of you and quote scripture? It doesn't matter how much scripture you know. It doesn't matter how much you, it matters that it's down in your heart to come out of your mouth as you speak it. And that's what's important to God, and that's what's important to you. Now we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 1. And in Genesis chapter 1, God establishes four spiritual laws. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Darkness was covering the earth. But God spoke light. Where was it? Light was in him. Light be, and light was. But he had to believe that there was going to be light. He couldn't be moved by the fact that darkness was upon the face of the earth. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and and divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. Now, I want you to notice how many times God said in this chapter. He said that at least 10 times, and there are more to other references that he said it. And God said, let the water under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called the seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, now pay attention to this verse. Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. So here we have spiritual laws. Law number one, God says before he does. He will always clarify to someone. He's clarifying to his prophets what he's going to do. This is how God works. He always says before he does. The second law, spiritual law, is God produces, see, like produces like kind. When, notice that he said here in verse 11, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. The apple tree will bring forth apples, corn will bring forth corn, and so forth. After his kind. Corn seeds will only bring forth corn. They won't bring forth anything else. So the second spiritual law that God announced was like produces like kind. And the third spiritual law was the seed of everything produces itself. The seed of everything produces itself. And this is established in verse 11 when he says, whose seed is in itself? Upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself, after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Now I drop down to verse 20. And God said, let the water bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life and fowl that may fly above the earth and the open firm in the open firmament of the heaven. Here, God is calling the animals out. He isn't creating them. They are already in there from the first earth, as is the seed. God is calling them forth out of the earth. They are already in the earth. They already are established. And God created whales and every living great creature that moved, which waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. Now, the fourth spiritual law that God applies here is natural things follow a spiritual pattern. There are those four laws. Everybody has them, writing them down. And verse 24, God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. So the beasts were already here. After his kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Now God makes man. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, over the fish of the, let him have dominion, over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. He created male and female at the same time. Genesis 2 is like a parenthetical chapter of Genesis 1. They both coincide. Genesis 2 doesn't replace Genesis 1, but it expands on it and explains it a little bit so. And God created man in his own image, and the image of God created him. We are made in the image of God. Now, in the beginning, God saw darkness, and what did he do? He said, let there be light. We are in his image. So when we see and we don't see something, we call it forth into existence. That's the way God did. And verse 28, God blessed them and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue. Replenish. Replenish means that there was all these things were here before it. They were here in the first earth. This is the second earth that God is creating now. We are living in the second earth. The third earth is the one that comes down from heaven. So God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And God said, now pay attention. Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. That word meat has a special connotation. God has it for a meaning. But first of all, I want to ask you, what bag of seeds did God give Adam? Was it for the trees? Was it for the whales? Was it for the birds? No. Every seed had seed within itself. It had the ability to reproduce and to produce. So God didn't give Adam a bag of seed, like it says here. He says, I have given you every green herb for meat. That word meat is something that I want to explain to you, and turn with me to John 4, verse 32. Jesus is at the well of Samaria, and he meets a Samaritan woman, a woman. The disciples go into the city to get food for him to eat. They come back just as Jesus is talking to the woman. In verse 31, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Jesus said, I have meat, M-E-A-T, the same meat that God mentioned in Genesis 1, to eat that you don't know of. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, has somebody brought him to eat? What is he going to eat? And Jesus said unto them, and here's the answer, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So the herb-bearing seed that God gave to Adam was avad. Avad means seed-bearing seed. It was the seed that God gave to Adam, and from that seed, he didn't give Adam bags of seed. Everything was in itself and reproduced itself. Now, while I'm here, let me mention to you, God made man in his image. We are the only ones that can reproduce two ways. We can produce physically, and we can produce spiritually. We are the only ones that can speak. We are the only ones that can speak about God's word. Why? Because God could speak. Do you know that God had every attribute in him that we have? He had ears, nose, mouth, everything that we have. And we did a Bible study on that recently. God has everything. He even has a soul. So everything that God gave Jesus was the meat. The meat was to finish the work that God had provided. That God had provided for Jesus and for all of us to sow. We are to be finishing the work that he gave us here on earth. Now, turn to Luke 17. Verses 7 to 9. We'll wait a few minutes. Somebody's coming in. Excuse me, Mika, could you kind of hurry it up because we're waiting. Luke 17, verses 7 to 9. But which of you, let's start with verse 6. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto us, unto the sycamore tree, be you plucked up by the root and be you planted into the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come in from the field, go and sit down and eat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward you shall eat and drink. This is meat. This is what the meat is to do. We are to serve, we are to give the meat, and that's what we are to do. Where the meat is associated to not just the meat that we eat, but the spiritual seed that we sow. Now you have to understand that, because God is a farmer, and God, everything in his word, how many times in his word does he refer to sowing the seed? Many times, here and there and everywhere. Avad is like a small grain of mustard seed. No, you have the mustard seed right here in front of you. These seeds are the smallest seed, and when they are grown, they produce a tree. That tree has big branches that birds fly into, that build nests in, that bees settle underneath, and it becomes a tree. So if you are sowing the seed, and God can steal from you the seed before he can steal, and Satan can steal from you the seed before he steals the tree, he's got it made. Now, God did not just sow one seed. He sowed the proverbial forest. When God sees a seed, he sees a forest. And that forest will produce many, many trees. Now, You have a kernel of corn. You have kernels of corn in front of you. If you open this seed, the real seed is inside. This is the outer covering that you are holding. So you are going, you sow the seed, you plant the seed in the natural. You dig the ground, you dig it, you plant the seed. That seed grows down, down, down. First of all, it has to split open. The warmness of the earth is to produce the seed. Soil does not have a choice what it produces. It only produces that which is put into us. So the seed, the moisture in the soil provides the opening of the seed. The opening of the seed opens like this, and the seed begins to root and grow down. When it grows down, it eventually grows up into a stalk, and the stalk and leaves, the bud, and then we have the fruit. But it doesn't mean you don't just plant today tomatoes and eat them tonight. There is seed, time, and harvest. Everything with God is a harvest. Now, I want you to turn to Leviticus 19:19, because it does talk in there about sowing mingled seed. Leviticus 19:19. You shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your cattle gender with diverse kind. You shall not sow your field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon you. And Deuteronomy 22:9 is another thing about mingled seed. Thou shalt not sow your vineyard with divers seeds, lest your fruit of your seed which you have sown and the fruit of your vineyard be defiled. So we are not to sow mingled seed. We're not to speak one thing. We're not to say, oh, God will do it. And then say, well, am I ever going to be that way? No, we can't sow. That's mingled seed. When you're speaking positive, you're speaking God's word. When you're speaking negative, you're speaking the enemy's word. And it's up to you to make the choice. Which are you going to speak? What's going to come out of your mouth? Now, I'm going to teach you a little bit about the sower sows the word, which is in all four of the Gospels, or all three of the Gospels, really. And they're in Mark 4. And I've taken the liberty of using the Mark 4 will be our basic thing here. That we'll use, but I will tell you what Matthew and Luke both say with the different scriptures. So Mark chapter 4. He began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground where it had much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Why do you think the seed that on good soil was sown 30, 60, or 100? That depends on how much you're speaking it. If you're only speaking it 30% of the time, you're only going to get a crop of 30%. If you're speaking it 60%, you'll get a 60% crop. If you're speaking 100, you will get 100. Now, when the disciples had him alone, they asked him, what was the main part of the parable? And so in verse 13, he says, "Don't you know this parable? How will you know any parable? If you don't understand this parable, you won't understand any." Is that fully accomplished to all of you? You understand? You have to understand this scripture or you won't understand any. Know you not. The sower sows what? The word. The sower sows the word. Now, in Matthew, it says the sower sowed seed. Let me see here. In verse 15, and these are they by the wayside. The wayside is smooth ground that hasn't been prepared for planting. And so where they fell by the wayside, and when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. But before we go through the stony ground, I want to tell you, when I heard the word, the wicked one comes and takes the word from those who don't understand it. You have to know and understand the word for it to come to pass. So that's what Matthew 13 says. 1339 is about the wicked one stealing it. In Luke, he says, those that hear, the devil comes and takes it away out of the heart, lest they should be saved and they should be healed. So the devil is going to take that word away from somebody so that they can't hear it and understand it. Now, Mark 4:16 says, these are they likewise, which were sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. But they have no root in themselves, so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Let me stop right here and tell you there are five ways which the enemy steals the word. Affliction, persecution, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and lust of other things. The devil will only use those five things to steal from you so that you don't understand. So now we go to Mark 4:16. We just read that. Matthew says stony places are those who have received the word with joy. They are those who say, "Pastor, that's just what I needed to hear. I needed to hear that." They go out from the church, they go home, and they last for a while. But then when the affliction and the persecution comes, they become offended and they fall away from the word. They have no root in themselves. You have to have a root in yourself in the word. So in Luke, it says that those that fell on the rock hear and receive with joy, and they receive for a time. When tempted, they fall away. So when they're tempted by affliction and persecution, now remember, there are five ways that the devil steals from you. Affliction and persecution mentioned in verse 17. Now in verse 18, these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. These five things, these last three, are the three that the devil uses. Now, I'll tell you, the one that fell by the wayside or the fell ones that fell on stony ground are like when I was on the mission field in Haiti. There was a young man that came to the Lord under my ministry, and he was on fire for the Lord. He had really been ill. He was, when I first met him, he was laid on the bed, curled up in a ball. He couldn't speak. He couldn't do anything. So there were two of us that we went there night after night, and we would do, one of us would do nothing but speak the word, and the other one would minister to him. Finally, in about a month, that young man could speak, and he could hold a glass. He couldn't even hold a glass when we started. So he could get, so that he could do that. Then, this was in November. Then by December, when I came home for Christmas, he was able to talk on the telephone and run with his girlfriend. He was on his way to recovery, I thought. So I came home for Christmas. And I was in home about 10 days. And I got a call from a missionary that I had left him in charge with. And she said, surely it was the strangest thing. He just receded into himself. I had left instructions to those that had ministered with him. And I said, now look, he's a new babe. He's just growing in the word. You need to keep ministering the word to him. They didn't do it. They didn't go back. They were too busy. Consequently, one morning about 5 o'clock, his mother came in to check on him. And he said, Mom, sit here with me for a while. And she said, I can't. I'm too busy. I have stuff that I have to do. So she went out and she came back in about 7 o'clock, and the boy was dead. Here he had pneumonia and he couldn't fight it because they didn't give him the scripture. And I asked the Lord when the missionary called me, I said, what happened? I know he was to be a testimony to me and to go all over the island with me, telling people how the word works. This is exactly what happened. He had no root in himself and he couldn't hold up against when the enemy attacked him. We can't allow that to happen. We cannot. We have to fight with everything we have. Now, the good seed is Mark 4:20. These are they which are sown on good ground. They hear the word, receive it, and speak it. They speak the word that they have heard. What comes out of the heart is in the mouth. What comes out of the mouth is that which the enemy hears. And those which were sown on good ground are those that produce. Are you a producer of the word? Or is only 30% of what you're producing bringing forth fruit? If it is, you need to bring forth more fruit. You need to speak it more often. So what is this showing us? It is showing us that one out of four will hear the word, will receive the word, will speak the word, and go on with the word. The other three fall by the wayside. And it's the other three that we are overcomers to. We have to overcome them. Now I want to turn to Matthew 13. See, God gives us much examples about sowing the word. Matthew 13, 24 to 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was come up and brought forth fruit, Then appeared the tares also. Now tares and wheat look the same. You cannot distinguish the difference until they are mature, until they're ready to be harvested. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in the field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy has done this. The servants said unto him, Will you then that we go and gather them up? And he said, No, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers are angels. I will say to the angels, gather you together first the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now go to verse 37. And he answered and said unto them, He that sows the good seed is the Son of Man, Jesus. Jesus sows good seed into the earth. The field is the word, is the world. When you are sowing your seed, you're sowing it into the world and people of the world. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. In the end of this world, the angels are going to come back with Jesus in Revelation 19. When they come back, they are going to go forth and gather the wicked ones and cast them into the fire. And the saved ones will go into the harvest. So the wicked ones are the ones that we're sowing the good seed to. We cannot be moved by what we see. We have to be moved by what we are believing for. Now, if I'm planting a tulip, this is a tulip bulb. If I'm planting a tulip, I have to say it's a tulip. I can't say this is a rose. If I say it's a rose, is that going to make it a rose? No. So when I plant the word, I plant the word of God. This seed will open and will bud, and next spring it will bring forth a tulip. But if I don't speak the word, I'm like a nut. I don't say anything. I don't get anything. I have to sow the seed. So do you. If we don't sow the seed, nothing is accomplished. He that gives seed to the sower gives bread to the eater. Did you ever stop to think that God gives you bread to eat? Now, what is bread? We pray about the bread in the Lord's Prayer. But do you give any thought about what it means? Bread means food to eat. It means provision. It means money. And it means everything we have in provision. So he that gives bread to you, gives food to eat, gives money to supply, gives you the food to eat. Are you going to stop with that and say, I'll take what I have and I'll take it and that's good, and not give it out? Or are you going to take that bread and use it for the Lord's good? We have to use it for the Lord's good. Like produces like kind. If you're going to speak the word, speak the word. Don't sow it with mingled seed. Don't say, oh, Lord, I'm healed. Oh, Lord, what if I won't be healed? No, you are healed. That's the end of it. You cannot be moved by anything other than that. And if you are moved by that, you do not know what the word says. Time and again, God heals. God, I had somebody say to me this morning, it isn't God's will to heal everybody. I said, oh, no, you're wrong. It's God's will to heal everybody. Those that don't receive it, don't receive it because they don't use their faith. Everything is a question of your faith. And you cannot say God doesn't heal everybody, because then he would be saying, I'm a respecter person. I'll heal you, but not you. I'll heal you, but not you. No, God doesn't do that. God is the healer of everybody. So why doesn't everybody receive their healing? Because they don't confess it. Or because they say, I'm healed. And then they will go elsewhere and say, oh, I'm really sick. And I had that brought home to me when I went to a church in Pittsburgh to speak. And I spoke to a group of women on faith and the word. And I was almost done with my teaching. It was almost noon. And the pastor's wife said to me, well, this is good. This is good, Sister Shirley, because you're teaching on faith. The whole church had faith. We had a good Christian man in our congregation. He had cancer and he died. He was believing, and so was the church. And I said, well, on the way up the hallway to luncheon, I said, it was his faith. His faith didn't believe. Oh, yes, he did. And I said, all right, tell me what he believed. He believed he was going to die and be risen again. And the whole church was believing that he wouldn't die. So there was no agreement there in the first place. He didn't believe the way they believed. Yet, by his not believing, the whole church was almost thrown under, because they were destroyed. Their faith didn't work. There always is a reason why your faith doesn't work. Why it isn't working is because your faith isn't working. Your faith has to be in the word. It has to be God and who God is. God gave Adam that bag of seed. What bag of seed? A vod that would work until it dropped. You cannot not work. You can't say, oh, I'm too tired. I don't want to work the word. You have to give out the word anytime you can. Amen. Because it's in giving it out that it's going to maintain its life. Can you see healing? No. Can you see prosperity? No. You see the results of healing and the results of prosperity. You don't see the actual healing taking place. So that you can sleep, you can plant the seed. I am healed. You go to bed, you get up, you don't see it working, you don't see it working. But one day it's there. Why? Because you kept your faith up. Yes. You have to keep your faith up. A tulip is going to respond to a tulip. A rose will respond to a rose. Corn will respond to corn. Mustard seed will respond to mustard seed. But you have to do the planting. Any of these that you take home and you leave sit on the counter, they aren't going to do you any good. They are a visual aid for you to realize that the word works. The word will always work for he who works the word. It's not that you have to worry that the word will work if you work it. It's you have to put it forth believing God that it's going to work. Philippians 6, by the communication of my faith, it becomes affection, effectually, my effectually acknowledging the communication of my faith by what Christ has done in me. So how many of us go forth and we ever tell anyone what Christ has done for us? It's by the acknowledging of what he has done in your body and in you that will make the difference. But you have to make the difference by saying it. Everything is made by the word. Everything is made by the word. The things you see, the things you don't see. But you have to acknowledge it. Don't work for the meat that you're going to eat. Work for the meat that's in John and in Luke that I explained to you about. That's the meat that counts. Doing the work of God, finishing the work that God started. It's when we finish his work that he is going to bring forth his fruit. The devil and sickness works 24 hours a day. When you put forth a word one time a day, it doesn't mean anything. Two times a day, three times a day, the more you do it, the more it's going to produce. If you went to the doctor and you got a prescription, and the prescription said, take four times a day, you would take that faithfully, wouldn't you? But you only speak the word once a day. You need to speak it four times or five times or six times, however much it takes. We cannot slough off with the word. God created us with his word. And it's with his word that we are fulfilled. It's with his word going forth that we are fulfilling it. You have a question, Mickey?
If we just speak it, what's the dead? It's then given in our heart.
Comes out the mouth.
We give it in our heart because we speak it more frequently.
Right.
We speak it all the time. We don't speak anything else.
Right.
Is that when it gets in our heart and we're speaking it out of it?
Right.
It's in our
but it can be in your heart, only you're not speaking it forth. You see, the mouth will speak what the heart believes. So if you are truly sold out, that God's word in you is everything, it's accomplishing everything, that's what you will speak. But there are people who don't believe that. There are people who are in churches today who are not filled with the Holy Spirit, who are not going where the Holy Spirit is, and that's why the church is in the problem that we're having today. Because you have young people who don't even go to church. You have their children. When we were little, we learned the Lord's Prayer. We learned all those things. They aren't learning any of that. And so we're dealing with the world, which is it's unknown to God. Or it's not, they don't know God is what I want to say. So we have to take that word and give it to them so that they know. Yes?
Would that be mixed?
Mingled, yes. Mingled seed is when you're speaking one thing and meaning another. Right. That's mingled seed. You reap what you sow. How many of you are sowing the word? Or are you just going along with the world and saying nothing? Did you have a question?
No, I was just agreeing with you.
Okay. All right. The kingdom of God is based on seed, time, and harvest. What you sow, there is a time for it to grow. In that time for it to grow, then comes the harvest. The time brings forth your patience. Your patience has got to be what waiting for that seed to grow. But in the meantime, you keep speaking it and speaking it and speaking it. Even though you don't see it, you know that it's working because you know that God is not a respecter of persons. What he did for you, he'll do for me. What he did for me, he'll do for you. If you believe. But how many people go away from the church and they don't, oh, well, so I'll take this. I was believing for $100 and God only gave me 50. I'll take the 50. No. The 50 that you're missing is the 50 that God hasn't given you yet. Don't be satisfied with half. Be satisfied with everything. Everything that God gives you. I said before that you are the product of what you say. You have won a good marriage? Are you speaking a good marriage? Are you speaking to your marriage? Are you speaking what you believe? Are you speaking it or not? Or, oh, my marriage is so bad. Well, that's what you're going to get. You cannot sow mingled seed like that. You can't. And so when you do, you are really falling into the enemy's hands. Now, that's all I have for you, except I want to tell you this. You see this kernel of corn? Everybody pick up your kernel of corn. One kernel of corn produces one stalk. One stalk produces at least two ears. Each ear produces 672 kernels. I know because I counted them. Each ear produces 672 kernels. So the total of kernels from two ears is 1,344 kernels from each seed. That's if only two ears grow on a stalk. So 10 kernels of this corn will produce 13,440 kernels. 100 kernels will produce 134,400. 100 kernels is nothing. And yet that's how powerful your word is. God is a multiplier of the seed sown. God works in multiplication. He adds unto, and he multiplies. So God is not only an adder to, but he is a multiplier to the seed you sow. So you have to keep sowing the seed. God gives us both natural things to sow and spiritual things to sow. Man can produce two ways. He can produce another man physically, but spiritually, because we are spirits, God produces spiritually. We sow spiritually, we reap spiritually. It's up to you what you are going to sow and what you are going to reap. But I caution you, be careful what you sow. Don't sow mingled seed. Don't sow a mixed seed. Sow what you want and get what you want, and that will be what the word sows. Now, do any of you have any questions? Okay. Affliction, persecution, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and lusts of other things. Now let's turn to Mark, because that's where that is. The deceitfulness of riches is things become more important to you than the word. That's the deceitfulness of riches.
That was Mark 4, that's true.
It's Mark 4, 16. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, when they have heard the word immediately, receive it and with gladness. They have no root, so endure for a while. When affliction and persecution comes, they become offended. Do not let offense into your life. Offense will stop your prayers. It will stop the move of God. Offense is strife, and strife is deadly. So do not let it occur in your life. So there's affliction and persecution in verse 17. In verse 19, the cares of this world, which is worry. Are you a worrier? Oh, I don't know if I'm going to have enough to be. Oh, I don't know. That's worry. And the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things. Other things become more important to you than the word. you have an opportunity to go to church on Wednesday night or Thursday night, or to a Bible study, and you say, "Nah, I don't feel like it tonight." You're letting that interfere with your walk with the Lord. You may not realize it, but you are. So it's these things that interfere with us when we're walking. Now, we don't take enough credit. We don't give enough credit for Satan to seal the things of God. But he will take any opportunity he gets to steal the word from us. He does not want to. He doesn't want God's position. He wants our position with God, because we are made in God's image. And if we are made to speak forth over the fish and the birds and the fowl, that's what he wants. He doesn't care about God. He cares about us. And it's us that he's after. So now, do you have any other questions?
Sheila, how do you deal then with somebody? There's a friend of mine, and we do similar businesses together. And when I talk to him, I try to stay upbeat about business, this and that. But he always reverts to the negative. Like, it's not good enough, or this happened, or that happened. So how do you, and I don't want to cut him out of my life, because I like the guy.
You don't want to cut him off, so you let him speak, but then you know you speak something of the word. God is
how do you, because you know my background, so this is a relatively new kind of thing for me here. So how do you not get brought down by, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like,
how do you not be brought down to his level?
Strong rebrought.
Okay. You know who you are in Christ. You've seen Christ move. You've seen God move in your wife's life. And when she was close to death, how God brought her out. You've seen God move. So what you do is replace what he says with the word. Just one scripture. You don't have to preach to them, because it's in preaching to people that we lose them. All you need to do is say, he says, oh, that's not good enough. God is good. God is good. God is great. That's all you need to do is say something like that. Whet his appetite with the word. And eventually he will come around. It'll take a while, but he'll come around to thinking your way of thinking. Is he Catholic? Okay. I'm sure that he is. Or he's in a church and is a believer. But bring the word to him. You know what? I have a Bible I'll give you to give to him. That'll be good. Give it to him and say, you know what? The pastor gave me this to give to you. You read it and tell me what you think. I guarantee you that when he reads it, he will be changed. He has to be. Because if he's really reading it with an open mind, he will be changed. And he will go on to change people. Because that's what the word does. It changes people. Changes us. Do we have any other questions?
I just had something I wanted to say that it may help your mind. Negative, positive. When somebody comes at you with a negative, always return with a positive. The word of God is always positive.
Right.
So if you could look at it that way.
I know what you're saying. It just seems, it almost seems like he draws me into the negative.
Sure.
Which because, is hard to, that, I guess, maybe I'm not strong enough or something. I don't know. Or it just, because I know that's what he likes. So maybe I play into what he likes, I guess.
But if you turn around to a positive.
Yeah, that's right.
That's all you do. And you make a positive with the word of God, like she said.
Because there are more negative people in this world than positive.
Right. Right.
And they're all trying to draw us into their world, but we're trying to draw them into our world. And so who's going to win? We are. We are. Yeah. Okay. One kernel produces one stalk.
One stalk.
One stalk. One stalk produces two ears. Two ears. Each ear has 672 kernels. So the total for the two ears is 1,344 kernels of corn. Ten kernels will produce 13,440 kernels of corn. If you plant 100 ears with two ears per stalk, it produces 134,400 kernels.
Okay, now plant
100
ears.
No, you plant 100 kernels. You don't plant the ears. Now, when you look at this corn, you don't see the stalk. You don't see the kernels of corn that appear on the cob. You only see the seed. That's why it says God will produce in that seed what God wants. God made corn to produce corn. You plant 100 kernels, you get 200 ears. On that 200 ears, you get 134,400 kernels. 134,400.
Is that 100 ears equals
134,400. A farmer planting 1,000 of these, and 1,000 of these is nothing if you're a farmer. So the farmer planting 1,000 ears of corn, a kernel, will get 2,000 ears of corn, or 134,400,000 kernels of corn. God is a multiplier of his seed sown.
Thank you, Pastor Sherwood. Now, I wanted to share this and to say that when I first started in ministering in the nursing home, the people in charge wanted me to secular songs and then close with hymns. So we were singing, "Won't You Come Home, Dill Baby?" This song down the front. And Father, let me call your sweetheart. And the priest said, "They were building you, and they were different." And they would be happy about it. Then we would move off. What I did was, I mentioned it to my pastor at that time. That we would start with secular songs, and then we would move into spiritual hymns. And she said, "Vicki, you can't sow mixed legal seed."
Right.
I never heard that before. Totally new for me. But then I began to observe some secular that we get in the flesh. They might be lifted up, they might be sad, you know, because we wouldn't have any bad memories or whatever. And then when we would do the hymns, I noticed the difference in the anointing that some of the Lord God that was not a secular song.
Right.
So I changed that, and I went to the activities director. And I prayed about it, and the Lord just said, "Don't ask her." I said, "Would it be okay if we just do this?" She said, "Sure, that's just..." So that started the new season.
Sure.
for the other, for us.
Because you can't sow mingled seed. Mingled seed is lost seed. It's lost seed. Because your good seed is lost because of the negative. Right. Now, if you take a stick and you stick it into the ground and you leave it there, about a month later, if you go back, you'll find that the root of the bottom of that stick is all what mushy, because the ground has been working on it to reproduce it. The ground can't produce a stick. The ground will produce what's put into it. So it's working and working and working to produce what's put into it. It's the same thing with a metal thing. If you put a metal spike into the ground, after a month, that spike will be all rusty because the moistness in the ground has attacked it to make the seed open. But there is no seed to open, so it doesn't open. It rusts. Right. There would be, like David says, the seed that is sowing is a negative seed to somebody speaking negative. But there is a way around speaking negative where you speak positive. You don't agree with them. And you tell them, I don't agree with you. Not everything is negative. I don't agree with that. Come against it with what you know to be fact. And it will be. But people are always trying to suck us in, and it's very easy to do. For example, you say, take care. I don't want to take care. I gave my cares to Jesus so that I don't have to have them. So when you tell me take care, I'm not going to do it. And yet how many people, you go through the cash register or wherever, they say, take care, take care. We fall into that. And we can't follow it. We have to fight it with everything we have. So do we have any other questions? None? But it comes all down.